a week since Sinn Féin rocked Stormont by dropping its support for welfare reform legislation. Talks are ongoing to resolve the welfare stalemate, which threatens the Assembly's future. Critics claim Sinn Féin's concentrating on the Republic, where other parties are accusing it of double standards. It denies being anti-cuts in the Republic, while imposing cuts north of the border at the same time. Thomas Byrne, Fianna Fáil Senator in the Republic, Sinn Féin Dublin Councillor, Ono Brin is with us this morning as well. Owen, good morning to you.
Good morning, Stephen.
Well, Martin McGuinness said recently Sinn Féin don't do austerity. Is that true?
It absolutely is, and contrary to your intro, it's not the executive that's imposing austerity. The cuts to the block grant are unilateral decisions made by the government in London. Unfortunately, it's the Assembly that's left picking up the pieces, and Sinn Féin is, I suppose, trying to one, mitigate the worst impacts of Tory cuts, but also then to try and push back and improve the situation. So we're not imposing anything. What we're trying to do is clean up the mess of Tories in London.
You are imposing it. You're taking local decisions of how the policy will be implemented locally.
We are, but the crucial point is this. Austerity is about cuts to budgets. The Assembly hasn't voted to cut the budget. That's a decision of Westminster. And in fact, in all of our dealings, not just Sinn Féin, but the other executive parties, we've been arguing that the kinds of cuts that the British government have been imposing year on year on the block grant are hugely detrimental to the well-being of our society. So again, it's not a decision of the executive to make these cuts. These are decisions that are made unilaterally by politicians in London with no mandate from anybody in Ireland. And again, we're left picking up the pieces. Now, very clearly there are things we can try and do to mitigate the worst excesses, and that's why we're taking such a strong line in terms of opposing the cuts through welfare reform and trying to come up with an alternative package. But ultimately what we need to see is we need to see the kinds of powers that governments in Dublin have, which we've been calling on the current government and Thomas Byrne and his party when they were in government to use, such as tax-raising powers, or powers to borrow and to invest. We want those powers devolved to the Assembly so that we're in a position in the executive to actually take decisions different to the ones that are being imposed.
Well, if you didn't have the Stormont House disagreement, then you would be able to reduce corporation tax or have the power certainly to do so in Northern Ireland. But you've all cocked this up by coming out to the public, telling the public that you had a deal when clearly you don't. Very, very patently clearly, you do not have a deal.
Well, the first thing is if we didn't have the Stormont House agreement, we'd have a direct rule, which would be even worse for everybody, particularly those who are going to bear the brunt of the cuts that David Cameron wants to introduce. But we have a deal. The difficulty is the DUP are reneging on an aspect of that deal, and work is ongoing to try and get them to recommit to what they originally agreed to. And the deal was very clear, and we published a very detailed document last week. The deal was that with respect to the so-called reform of the welfare system, that no current or future claimant would be negatively affected as a result of these decisions. A significant fund was put to one side to cover the cost.
No current or future claimant will be negatively affected at all. So you're still sticking to that line?
Oh, absolutely. And keep in mind, this isn't just about protecting claimants. This is about protecting the domestic economy.
Hold on a second. Just let me be clear. Is that a red line for Sinn Féin?
I think Martin McGuinness made that exceptionally clear at the Ardèche 2 weekends ago. You cannot cut the payments of those most vulnerable in our society, not only because it pushes them deeper into poverty, it also damages the domestic economy.
No, but
of that money out of the domestic economy will cost jobs and will damage business.
So you're saying...
What we want is the DUP to keep to the deal that they and the other parties signed up to in Stormont House.
But we've seen the deal. We've seen the documents. There is nowhere in writing in that Heads of Agreement paper where it talks about future claimants being protected. Nowhere.
No one in Northern Ireland is adversely affected as a result of the change. That was the formal position of the DSD minister on January the 12th.
He was talking about universal credit.
In all of the documentation, and we published a very detailed dossier, it's clear existing and future claimants will be protected because none of the political parties in the Assembly actually support this so-called welfare reform because it's bad for people in our society and it's bad for the domestic economy.
How do you cost that? No current or future claimant. So what is your costing in that in terms of no future claimant?
You can't do a definitive costing, which is why there was an envelope of money that was set aside. But you might have spent less than that. You might have spent more than that. And you would deal with it as the situation evolved. That's the nature of social welfare.
Okay.
Not just
So if it's so if it if you spend more, it, that, this is a red line for Sinn Féin. So if it costs hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds to protect every current and future claimant, you're saying that's a deal breaker. That's the price worth paying.
Well, first of all, it's not going to cost hundreds and hundreds of millions more. You can work rough figures for it. But yeah, the principle is very simple. You don't take money off people with disabilities. You don't take money off people who are long-term sick. You don't take money off the most vulnerable in our society. One, because it makes their lives harder and pushes them further into poverty, which costs them and society more in the long run. And it also damages the domestic economy, because every euro that's spent or every pound that's spent in social welfare payments is a pound that's spent in the local economy, in local businesses and local jobs. So it simply makes no sense, both from a social justice and a sensible economic management point of view, to proceed with this. That's why all the executive parties signed up to this. That's why it was included in the Stormont House Agreement. Obviously, the DUP, doing what the DUP often do, are retracting and reneging on that. And that's why discussions are ongoing at present.
Well, if it's a red line for Sinn Féin that you're saying this morning, that no current or future claimant can be worse off in Northern Ireland, and that's a red line for Sinn Féin, I'm just wondering how much more talking the DUP need to do.
Well, keep in mind, Stephen, that's what was agreed in the Stormont House Agreement, and that's what
they say it wasn't. They say it wasn't agreed.
And we published detailed documentation that makes it very clear that it was.
And the Alliance Party also say it was not agreed.
Well,
and the UUP say it was not agreed.
I listened with great interest to David Ford, and probably as the party who are most in favour of the Tory welfare cuts until this point, I'll take everything he says on this with a large pinch of salt.
Thomas Byrne is a Fianna Fáil senator in the Republic. Maybe you should be applauding Sinn Féin, Thomas Byrne, for standing up to austerity both sides of the border.
No, Stephen, good morning, and good morning, Owen. I'm afraid Sinn Féin have been caught in the act of austerity in the north at this stage. They were against Tory cuts. They were for Tory cuts when they signed up to Stormont House, and now they're against them again once the detail has been worked out. I would urge anybody who has any doubts about what is in the Stormont House agreement to read it. It's only 5 pages long, and there's a financial annex as well, which is only, I think, 3 pages. It's a very, very short document. There's absolutely nothing in that document or either document about protecting current and future claimants. And the claim that Sinn Féin have basically made up in their 28-page dossier is simply made up. It's not credible at all. They've been shown very, very clearly here to be talking out of both sides of their mouth. They've been caught in austerity. They're under pressure from the trade union movement, both north and south. One thing that's very, very clear in the Stormont House Agreement is the absolute shattering of public services that will happen in the north because of voluntary redundancies that are planned and funded there. You had unions up in arms about this, and workers and the public very concerned about this. I think that had an impact too. So there's a whole range of austerity in the Stormont House Agreement that's listed out. And I think Sinn Féin need to actually decide what they're going to do. Are they going to be in government, where you have to divide the money as fairly as you can, whatever resources are actually available, or are they going to just be in opposition like they are in the south? Because they don't seem to know exactly what they're doing. They will rail against everything, water charges while putting water meters in the north, property tax while increasing rates in the north. It's a similar pattern for Sinn Féin, and they need to decide which side, whether it's Owen O'Brien's side, which I think is a more left-wing side of the party, or whether it's the other side of the party, a more conservative side of the party, who's going to win out and who are people actually voting for, because I don't think they really know at this stage.
Go on, Owen.
Well, people know very clearly what they're voting for. They're voting for a party who's against austerity as a policy, and a party who, whether it's in the Assembly or whether it's in Leinster House, are putting forward alternatives.
But your party...
For example, Stephen, the big difference between the Assembly and the Dáil is the Assembly has the power to raise taxes in a whole range of areas, and it has the ability to borrow and to invest. They are two powers that would allow a government in Dublin, including the government that Thomas supported back in 2010, to chart an alternative course.
But your party here in Northern Ireland, Owen O'Brien, has also signed up to 20,000 public sector job cuts, at least.
We have the difficulty is that because of the £1.5 billion cut to the block grant, a decision of the Westminster government, not of the Assembly, we're left in a situation where we have to manage a decreasingly small budget each year. We've introduced a voluntary redundancy scheme, that's right. Very clearly there's a responsibility on ministers to ensure that where people take up that scheme, it doesn't affect frontline services. But contrast that to what Thomas and his colleagues.
But Sinn Féin, hold on. No, I don't need to talk about Thomas Byrne's colleagues. Well, I need to talk about your party and your colleagues who have been denying, on this programme over recent days that the 20,000 figure is a target. It is a target, isn't it? There's no point in denying it. Sinn Féin have signed up to 20,000 job losses in Northern Ireland as a target, haven't you?
It's not a target, no. There is a voluntary redundancy scheme and we'll have to wait and see how many people avail of that.
But you signed up to the figure of 20,000.
The figure of 20,000 isn't in the agreement, Stephen.
You signed up to it.
Quote me the page, Stephen, where it's on. There is a voluntary redundancy scheme, but I have to say...
Isn't it lucky? You want me to quote you the page? Hold on. No, hold on. You want me to quote you the page because this is from a different agreement, but it was another agreement that your party was party to, the Stormont Castle Agreement. All right.
We opposed the Stormont Castle Agreement, Stephen, as you well know. We were the only party to oppose it, and that's why we have a Stormont House Agreement. But quote away, go ahead.
In the Stormont Castle Agreement, a five-party submission to David Cameron's government that paved the way for the Stormont House Agreement, it says, we estimate that reductions across the public sector of between 10%, 20,000 staff, and 15%, 30,000 staff may be needed over the medium term.
As you know, Sinn Féin didn't support that document, and that's why we continue negotiations and we have the Stormont House Agreement. Crucial point is this.
Well, our correspondent John Campbell is here. Is that true, John?
Well, what we can look at here is the Stormont Castle Agreement said there should be £800 million set aside for running a voluntary redundancy scheme. What we actually got in Stormont House was £700 million was set aside for a voluntary redundancy scheme. So there's a bit of a difference there, but the quantum is not massively different. So at the most generous, you might say, OK, well, on that basis, maybe the number of jobs which will go will be 15,000 rather than 20 to 30,000. But the figures aren't particularly different between Stormont Castle and Stormont House on what's going to happen in terms of voluntary exit. Now, there might be a slight quibble around 20,000, because you could say, as I think the finance minister has said, when we talk about 20,000, we're talking about 20,000 posts, so some of those might be posts that get closed, so it's not actually a job lost. But however we cut it, there is a very large sum of money has been set aside to cover voluntary redundancies. And the
which Sinn Féin have signed up to.
Yes, that's part of Stormont House, the £700 million.
Here we have Owen O'Brien. You're telling us this morning you haven't signed up to this now.
No, that's not what I said, Stephen.
You did. You said the 20,000 figure is nowhere to be seen.
Stephen, you're asking me, did Sinn Féin sign up to a target of 20,000? And I'm saying, no, this is a voluntary redundancy.
What is the target then?
There isn't a target. It depends on how many people take up the scheme and the cost of the scheme per individual. And we'll have to wait and see how that evolves.
So if only 3,000 or 4,000 came forward, it would be as low as that, would it?
Well, we'll have to wait and see how it develops. And neither I nor you know what's going to happen with the implementation of the voluntary redundancy.
The DUP have said, from Sammy Wilson, have said that if they had to, only if they had to, they might have to look at compulsory redundancies. Would Sinn Féin go along with that?
Well, that would be an incredibly retrograde step and it could be incredibly damaging for the public sector. Keep in mind...
So you would never agree to that?
I certainly wouldn't agree to it, and I have to say it would be the wrong way for us to proceed. There is a voluntary scheme in place. There is funding for that voluntary scheme, and we should let that voluntary scheme run its course to see how it's implemented. But none of this can go without saying the reason why we're in this situation is because a government in London has unilaterally cut the block grant for the executive and left us in a position where we're trying to manage ever-diminishing resources, despite the fact that we are in great need of increased investment in a whole range of areas. So, again, what's Sinn Féin trying to do? Get the powers devolved to the institutions to allow us to chart an alternative course, as we think the government in Dublin should do. And that includes full devolution of taxation powers and devolution of the ability to borrow from the likes of the European Investment Bank and elsewhere to invest in job creation. If we had those powers in the executive, we would be able to do exactly the kind of things we're calling on the government of Dublin to do.
You know, John Campbell, I wonder if, as Sinn Féin says, if it's true that this voluntary exit scheme is all demand-driven, in other words, based on how many people actually apply to leave, I wonder why there's a target being bandied around at all.
Because there's a certain amount of money they want to save. So what it said in Stormont Castle is they would hope to generate savings of about £86 million every year. So if Stormont is going to try and get its finances on a solid footing, they need to save money somehow. And so a calculation was obviously run to say, well, listen, if we want to save this amount, then here's the number of people we're going to have to try and get out the door. I suppose potentially some of that money that's been saved might go to fund the corporation tax cut. I'm just wondering how Owen O'Brien, from an ideological point of view, would feel about the fact that the only thing that Stormont is really doing on the fiscal side is deciding to bring in a tax cut for business, which is something that Sinn Féin seem to be four square behind, and how, from his point of view, how that's playing with him and with people of a like mind with him in the party in Dublin.
Well, keep in mind, there is no decision on what to do with devolved power and corporation tax. We want the power in the Assembly, as we do with all fiscal powers. And we will take decisions on what to do with that power after it's transferred and in the best interest of the economy. And there's almost like there's a narrative out there which is a decision has already been taken to unilaterally cut the base rate to 12.5%. That's not the case.
Would you put it up?
I think what you would do, like with any tax power, Stephen, is when it's devolved, you would look at that in the round and say, what's the best use of it? So, for example, in other economies, what do? They leave the base rate at what it is, but they might reduce the rate for specific kinds of investment to try and attract inward investment into the economy that's not currently there. So those are all options you need to look at. But until you have the power, you can't decide what to do. So the idea that savings from the voluntary redundancy scheme are going to be used to cross-finance a cut to corporation tax simply isn't the case. In fact, what Sinn Féin wants to see is any of those savings invested in frontline services, because that's what people desperately need at the moment.
Here's Albert in Belfast. Morning, Albert.
Good morning. Just want to say something to Owen O'Brien. If it wasn't for the British taxpayer having to bail out the Republic a few years ago, maybe there might have been more money in the pot from the British government to Northern Ireland for welfare reform. And can I just say about the DUP, once again we'll see the DUP roll over to Sinn Féin because all their interests in keeping their jobs in Stormont. Why don't they call their bluff? As Nigel Hamill has said, there is no more money. The only way to solve this, where Sinn Féin is concerned, is get more money into the system. The 20,000 public sector workers, basically, if them jobs are not needed, as Nigel Hamill has said...
Simon Hamilton, sorry.
Why don't they just pay them off instead of giving them a bribe to go? And that would save money.
Albert, thank you. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Hello, Stephen. I just had a dream about Sinn Féin's utopia. At the moment, there's thousands of asylum seekers and refugees sitting in France waiting to get into the United Kingdom. If the United Kingdom's benefit system is set at a certain amount, and Northern Ireland's benefit system is set at a higher amount, would Northern Ireland be able to cope with the housing that would require for these refugees, asylum seekers? Would the hospitals be able to cope? Would the GPs be able to cope? I think not. Is this what Sinn Féin want for Northern Ireland?
I wonder, Owen O'Brien, how we get into this situation where, you know, you do have senior sources suggesting that the Stormont Castle Agreement was the actual basis for the Stormont House Agreement, that the Stormont Castle Agreement was agreed by Martin McGuinness, no less, to bring forward as a basis for the Stormont House Agreement. And here we have, in black and white, in this agreement, an estimation that reductions across the public sector of between 10 and 15%, in other words, 20,000 to 30,000 staff may be needed over the medium term. And yet Sinn Féin's public position all of a sudden now is there's no target at all when it's here in black and white.
Stephen, Sinn Féin's public position and our private position has remained the same, which is there isn't a target. There is a voluntary exit scheme. There's a fund of money there for it. And it's demand driven. And like I say, we'll have to see how it goes.
So what would happen, John Campbell, if they didn't get big numbers? What would actually happen? What would that the implication be?
Well, then their budget
for the overall budget.
Well, their budget arithmetic then is off, and then they'd have to decide, you know, in that situation, either you make cuts in other services, or you try and raise more money in some way. And that's all they could do, basically. But this is all kind of predicated, I think, their budget going forward over the next number of years on being able to reduce the size of the public sector.